Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and we are on day two of this month's lifestyle feature called Painting a New Canvas. Yesterday, we met a woman named Cindy LaRoe, and she was a doctor for many, many years, had a successful career, and then she found that she was in a bicycle race and severely injured her head, and that changed her life forever. And this is who we're talking about. She had a very promising life as a doctor, but that all changed. She lost it all, and now she is devoting her life to one thing in particular, art. And here to help me talk about this story is Lois. Welcome back, Lois.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Great to be back for day two.
Yeah, and Amanda, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we are on page 36 and 37. Before we get into today's lesson on page 37, I always like to go back to the first day and just kind of recap a point or summarize something that you thought was instrumental or key to the story. Amanda?
Well, I think yesterday I touched lightly on the sidebar that we have there under staying positive with regard to Cindy LaRoe and her husband's relationship, that even though they had met a challenging time, they were still able to keep from breaking up in their marriage. And I think it's interesting in that sidebar that it actually goes on to see the positive things or the positive outcomes of what happened to Cindy. They said, we're better people who are more understanding of one another. And we've both learned to enjoy one another and enjoy what we were given because things could always be worse. And so I just really like their positive outlook.
I do too. I love that. We humans were so resistant to pain and suffering, and we desire to run away from it so much. But when it happens, it so often is the key to unlocking a richer life.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird how this life works, that through pain and through suffering, we have a richer existence.
Right.
And that's what they experienced.
Well, I just liked when I was reading this article, the whole thing, but we're focusing on the first day here, the maturity they had in this situation. Mm-hmm. I think they're such an example, both to each other and their family and friends and acquaintances and whoever she was doing what seems to be competitive bicycling with.
Yes.
You know, she's a competitive bicyclist. I just really feel inspired.
Yeah, I do too. I'd like to remind everybody of the detour that we talked about yesterday in life, how it's important that we be flexible. We make plans and we meet people, and we've all met friends. Like, I will get married when I'm 28, and I will start having children when I'm 30, and I will, you know, finish my career. I will finish my school this time. Mm. Everyone's got things planned out exactly how they want. But very rarely does that happen, and we need to be flexible in this life. Mm. And sometimes life takes us on a detour,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think don't, hold on to it loosely, because I think you'll enjoy the ride better.
Mm. Wise advice, Lois. So, with that, let's turn to page 37. If you have your magazines, please open to that page, and let's begin reading at the top of the left-hand column.
Cindy stands as a great role model for these people because of her willingness to move on and make this terrible injury into something beautiful with her art. She might not be able to help people through her practice anymore, but she can by bringing awareness and her artistic ability. Remembering what happened. Cindy remembers only flashes from the accident. She recalls swerving out of the way of other bikers crashing, looking down at her speed, about 30 miles per hour, and being loaded into an ambulance. Her husband has vivid memories of the crash, the grass stuck in her ears, the lack of scrapes she had, and how she couldn't remember who he was. Cindy said she didn't know she had a brain injury until 2 weeks after the accident, which also left her with 4 broken ribs, a broken clavicle, and a frozen shoulder. One Sunday morning, she picked up the newspaper and realized something wasn't right. I called Ken and told him he needed to come home now because I couldn't read the newspaper, she said. The next morning, we went to a doctor.
Okay, thank you, Lois, for reading. We begin by saying Cindy stands as a great role model for these people. And because we're picking up from yesterday, we have to redefine who these people are. These people, of course, are people with brain injuries and head injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, these people, people who have gone through these tragedies, it's very easy, and you can understand why they kind of turn in on themselves, mm-hmm. get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Life has dealt me a cruel hand.
Right.
And they start to feel sorry for themselves. Again, very understandable.
Right.
Right?
And you have to go through that period. I really believe that. I think, you know, anyone I've read about who's gone through a really bad injury and maybe not been able to have the career now they wanted to have, or maybe they're a quadriplegic or a paraplegic, they have to go through that stage because it's a whole grieving process. Yes.
My goodness. I don't know how anyone, I mean, it's very, very difficult to elevate yourself out of that that malaise of just, what happened to my life? My life is ruined and there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad for these people. And so Cindy wants to help people get out of that, right?
Right.
She wants to be a role model.
Right. She wants to help people to move on. And she herself has done that by making beautiful art now. And she says that she might not be able to help people through her practice anymore. So, for example, she can't help people being a doctor, but she can by bringing awareness of brain injuries and her artistic ability.
Right. Very good. So, wow. She's very fortunate to have this vehicle of art.
Right.
You know, there are certain people maybe don't have a hobby that they can have as an outlet to look outside themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so Cindy's very, very lucky to have this. And she uses it as a springboard to encourage others.
Right. And I think, you know, with this kind of injury, she also realizes, even though it's a huge deal, but she also realizes with the maturity level this woman has, it could have been so much worse.
Right, yeah.
And we know that. We know that, you know, getting, you know, Steve, you've even mentioned it, getting on a scooter or getting on a bicycle, where we live here in Taipei, you're kind of sometimes, a lot of the time, taking your life in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she probably thought, you know, she's was very accomplished at this hobby. Probably didn't even enter her mind that this would ever happen.
No, I'm sure it didn't. Nope. Really quickly, on line 25, I want to do something, talk about English for a second. The word practice, normally we see that as a verb. Here, we use it as a noun, and we usually use it as a noun when we're talking about doctors and the work mm-hmm. that they do. We call it a practice,
right.
Which is a little disconcerting when you're thinking about doctors practicing on me.
Right. We say it for dental, too, a dental practice,
yeah.
Right?
It doesn't instill much confidence in the doctor when they call it a practice.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a little English for you there. Let's move on to the next paragraph, remembering what happened. And so, of course, this happened in a flash, this accident, when Cindy was racing her bicycle, and she remembers only flashes from the accident,
mm-hmm.
and she remembers swerving out of the way of other bikers crashing. So she wasn't the only one crashing to the ground, but she swerved, and to swerve means to change direction quickly and suddenly, and when you're thinking about scooters, you just mentioned scooters, mm-hmm. Lois. That's one of the dangers of riding a scooter is other scooters and cars swerving.
Right.
And not giving you advanced warning of which direction they're going in.
Right.
And so that's a very, very dangerous thing to do as a driver.
And actually in racing, in bike cycle racing, they tend to work together as a group when they're doing that. And so we see here that there were others that crashed before her. So usually one person crashes and then the whole group is affected by that front
crash. Absolutely. There's no way to avoid it.
No.
Because you're not going to go over that crash.
No. You know, you just have to watch Tour de France for maybe an hour, and you definitely see that happen.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And she was going pretty fast, 30 miles an hour.
Yes.
And doing the conversion, I think that's 18 kilometers an hour. Is that right?
That's a good clip.
No,
maybe I'm sorry. It's
faster than that. It's faster than that.
Maybe 50.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I went the opposite direction.
Yeah, the other way.
Okay, so it's much faster than that.
Yeah. That's fast.
118 miles an hour is 30 kilometers an hour. That's what I was thinking.
Mm.
Okay, so it's pretty fast. And her husband saw the whole thing. He has vivid memories. And when we see that word vivid, what do we mean, Lois?
Well, it is a movie right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
You can't forget it. It's there. It's in living color.
Living color. We often talk about colors, as you said, being vivid, very bright and unforgettable. And this was a memory he had, an unforgettable memory. And what did he remember, Amanda?
Well, he remembers that the grass was stuck in her ears, the lack of scrapes she had. So she didn't have many scrapes to her body or cuts to her body, and how she couldn't remember who he was.
Okay. This is very interesting to me because the grass in her ears tells me she landed on grass.
Mm-hmm. And right? At quite an impact.
Right. Mm. But nonetheless, it wasn't a hard surface. It wasn't the pavement of a road. I would rather land on grass than on the pavement any day. And so that's what happened to her. It's softer and it takes the blow easier. And she had no lack of scrapes. I won't say no scrapes, but a lack of scrapes. So this wasn't like, you know, she was going down hard on the concrete and there's blood and scrapes everywhere. It's not like that. So that reminds me of, like, even if it was an easy fall, it was still freakish.
Right. And that she couldn't remember who he was. I would think that was more concerning to him at the time than her.
Absolutely.
She's in, she goes pretty quickly, Amanda would know this better being a former police officer, but into shock pretty quickly, whereas is himself, he's trying to, you know, console her probably. He's trying to have the situation under control and that she doesn't know who he is. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And if you recall, also with Logan Hurd, that was one of the early concerns from his parents because he came off the field and his parents came to meet him and he didn't know who they were.
Yeah, so it's not just tragic for the sufferer of the trauma, but also the family.
Right.
Yeah, we were thinking about that earlier. Being the parents of someone, of a child who lost his memory or her memory, would be so tragic and so hard to work through. Imagine sitting on the sofa going through photos of family. This is your grandmother and this is your cousin. Mm. And they have no idea.
Right?
Oh, that would be so painful to the heart. Again, what we're talking about here is amnesia. Amnesia is when you lose your memory, and I'll spell it for you, A-M-N-E-S-I-A. A-M-N-E-S-I-A, amnesia. All right, let's go to the top of the right-hand column and continue. Amanda, would you take us into this next paragraph, please?
Cindy says she didn't know she had a brain injury until 2 weeks after the accident, which also left her with other injuries. It left her with 4 broken ribs, a broken clavicle, and a frozen shoulder.
Okay, let's take these things a little bit, one by one. Broken ribs. I've never broken a rib, but I've certainly bruised one.
I've had a family member that's broken 5 or 6. Extremely painful because you can't set them.
You can't set them.
And you have to be able to sleep, and you have to be able to get in a bed, and maybe some kind of reclining chair.
It's hard to breathe.
It's difficult to breathe.
And you can't laugh. I mean, you will be in pain if you laugh.
Yes.
Even breathing is painful. Like, you don't want to breathe, but you have to because of the pain.
Right. And I'm bad at making people laugh. You know, this was really hard for me to hold it in, not to make this family member laugh.
When you say you're bad at making people laugh, does
that
mean
you're not
funny?
I am good at it. I like to do it. So.
Okay, it would be good if you weren't funny and someone had broken ribs. Okay. Next is clavicle, and that's kind of a medical term. More often we use what term, Lois?
We use collarbone.
Yeah, collarbone.
I had my sister, she loved me sharing this, so I have to tell you. I had my sister at 10 years old break her clavicle, collarbone, and she was wrestling a boy in our basement of our house, and our basement had a concrete floor. Mm-hmm. So when he flipped her, you just heard that snap, and it was
over.
It was over.
Yeah. I broke my collarbone as a young boy twice, the same one, two different times. It's weird. You hear it snap, and one time I was in the pool, and a kid jumped in the pool and landed on my shoulder with his heel and broke my collarbone. And the next one I was snowboarding, and I landed on the wrong, in the wrong way. And I heard it snap. And I remember having to walk home with my broken collarbone, lifting my shoulder with my other arm.
Yes.
I just felt like my whole arm was going to fall off.
Yeah. For sure.
So anyway, that's the collarbone. And let's talk about frozen shoulder.
Mm.
This is something I haven't heard about.
Sure have.
Have you?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Okay, because I've had friends and family members have this. And actually, a friend who's married to a doctor, oftentimes you might have a frozen shoulder because you've had an accident and it's repairing. Or maybe you need a surgery on that shoulder. Well, so you do not get a frozen shoulder, the only thing that can prevent it is, in the States they call it a physical therapist. Where I'm from, it's a physiotherapist. They have to work with that shoulder because you will favor it, and it will actually, they call it frozen shoulder, it will lock up. You do not want it to happen. And
is that something that lasts a long time, or does it eventually go away?
Well, you know what? We actually, as we age, there's a YouTube clip that you can watch. I think it's called Where's the Fuzz? And this is what is kind of called inside there, that you have to keep it moving around and moist and agile. And if you don't, your shoulders will actually freeze, and a lot of elderly people get frozen shoulders.
Okay.
So they might say sometimes, "Oh, I have such a stiff shoulder." They're on the road to a frozen shoulder.
Wow.
And that's why they tell you, I think, basically about starting about 40, do stretches when you wake up in the morning and you're on the side of your bed, when you get up, when you're in the shower, so that you won't have things like this happen.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. Frozen shoulder. And that's not to be confused with a cold shoulder. A cold shoulder is also a very useful idiom. When someone gets the cold shoulder, Amanda, do you know what that is?
Ignoring somebody.
Yeah.
Deliberately ignoring somebody.
Loves you or ignores you. They don't pay attention to you. If someone approaches you and says hello, and you just ignore them and walk
away.
Maybe
one of your old girlfriends, Steve? I'm having some fun.
That's the cold shoulder. All right. This other thing is the newspaper. And when Cindy tried to read it one day, she couldn't. And she found out that she had a hard time remembering how to read.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was very, very alarming. Can you imagine the fright that would give you?
Well, because I've known people in medical school, they're usually speed readers. So that must have really frightened her.
Right.
And she must have really thought, what's up?
Yeah, something big time wrong with my life, my body. Yeah. All right, let's go to the final reading now. And we'll pick it up on line 10, Finding Answers.
Finding Answers. The couple visited 8 doctors on a journey for answers and hoped to find a way to cure what was wrong. Along the way, Cindy became more interested in painting and began creating large canvases filled with color. She has sold a few of her paintings, but said she does it more for her own pleasure as a way to relax. It really helps me forget everything else going on and puts me at ease, she said. I lost so much, but I really can see the light in it because I'm a completely different person now. I used to always be so focused on what my next task was, but now I take time to smell the flowers and appreciate things.
Okay, Cindy LaRoe was a very accomplished doctor. After a bike accident, her life began to fall apart. She couldn't move her legs. She had seizures. She lost the ability to read. And now she wants answers. So we're finding answers on line 10. The couple visited 8 doctors on a journey for answers. And wow.
Yeah.
That's a discouraging journey.
Right.
Yes.
I'm hoping that they handled her with kid gloves because she herself was a doctor and that they really wanted to get to the bottom of her problem.
If you have ever had a medical condition and you've gone to one doctor and the doctor didn't seem to know what the problem was or didn't seem to know or agree with how you were feeling or whatever, and you moved on to the next doctor, that is frustrating and discouraging.
Or if they don't have empathy for you, right?
Yeah. And you go to the third doctor, fourth doctor, fifth. Now we have 8 doctors, 8 different doctors. And so they had to have a lot of hope and lean on each other a lot for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so take us to the next line, Amanda, line 12, along the way.
Along the way, Cindy became more interested in painting and began creating large canvases filled with color. So as they're doing this journey of visiting doctors for answers, she began painting again.
Okay, and this was a tremendous thing for her, a way for her to relax in this very potentially discouraging and disheartening time in her life.
Right.
She found some kind of refuge.
Right.
And refreshment through painting.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, with a brain injury, your left side of your brain and your right side of the brain and all that, I wonder how artistic she was before this accident.
I thought the same thing, Lois, and unfortunately our author doesn't go into that.
I know.
But sometimes after head injuries and severe head injuries, a person has this magical explosion of artistic creativity.
Right.
That is unleashed.
Maybe that'll happen to me someday.
Right. So, yeah, maybe that has something to do with it, though we don't know for sure. And she says, painting really helps me forget everything else going on. And it puts her at ease, and she says, I lost so much, but I can really see the light in it because I'm a completely different person now. And this phrase, see the light, is something we say quite often.
Right. We even hear it in songs.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean, Lois?
If you see the light, you suddenly understand something you didn't understand before.
Mm.
Sometimes we'll use the term, oh, that's a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's turning on the light, right? And I do get it now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. In modern parlance or in modern communication, we often hear today the aha moment. People say that a lot now. It's basically the same thing. It's like when all of a sudden, aha, I understand.
Mm.
So they see the light.
I remember that song I used to love, I saw the light, I saw the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it happens in a flash.
Yeah.
And she used to always be focused on what her next task was, and again, this gives insight into her personality. She's task-oriented, goal-oriented. She's competitive. She's driven. She wants to win. But that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Those things aren't necessarily bad.
No.
I'm not saying they're bad. But she's kind of mellowed out a little bit, and maybe she's being brought back to the center on some things in her life.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe she's
almost had a childlike experience again. You know, when I read that it said, time to smell the flowers, we sometimes hear time to smell the roses and appreciate things, I'm thinking her life might seem a lot more peaceful.
Yeah. I can imagine her being very, very busy, as you said, with her career, working in the hospital, and her schedule is full of things and activities. And now she has to learn to slow down, and she's able to enjoy life in a different way.
Mm.
That's very, very wonderful. It would not have happened had she not had this accident. Mm. So again, although we love to avoid and run away from challenges in life, sometimes when we embrace them, we find a huge, huge blessing in that. And if we can let that challenge grow us into different people, we'll find that we'll have a richer life.
You know, it kept reminding me this article, because we all have control issues. I don't care who we are. We want to control things. We want our life to be controlled and be going on this nice bicycle path, perhaps. And for some reason, this article reminded me of that song, Let It Go, that everybody got so attached to a year or two ago and in one of the Disney movies. And I just thought, she had to let it go.
Yeah. See, that song resonates with us still today.
Yeah.
Okay, it's timeless. Well, we are out of time today, friends. We're so happy that you joined us for this month's lifestyle article. We hope that you join us next time for another lesson right here at Advanced. Have a great day. Bye-bye.